Thank the Lord. Very thankful to be here with you all, and thank you for opening up the pulpit here. Brother James said he didn't want to be a hindrance in the meeting. I don't either. And it's been our prayer and desire that the Holy Spirit would give what He wants, that we would just be a mouthpiece for the Lord in this meeting. I know that revival meetings come in a lot of different packages. And I know there's been a lot of revival meetings here in Sepulpa and different congregations. And every revival meeting is a little bit different. Some of them are kind of a smorgasbord, kind of a renaissance meeting, different messages on different topics. And some are more geared to the unsaved. But I want the Lord to have His way in this meeting. And I'm someone, just by nature, I tend to be an analyzer, sometimes to my own detriment. But part of my consecration in this meeting was, Lord, I'm not going to worry about what anybody thinks. I'm not going to worry about anything else. I just want to give what You put on my heart to give and the messages You give. So you pray for me, please, that the Lord's Word would have preeminence amongst us. And as I sat here in my pew and looked up here while we were singing, I was flooded with memories. When I first started preaching, Sepulpa was one of the places that we came once a month before you all had a pastor, and I guess kind of cut our teeth a little bit on this congregation. A lot of memories, and I thought about the love that you all have shown to our family. It was about a year ago that Devin had his drowning accident. You all just opened up your hearts to us and showed us so much love and support. And I want to thank you all for that. I'm thankful to be part of the family of God tonight. And I thank you for your love. And as we enter into this revival meeting, I'm thankful. And I'll just refer to it this way. There is a song that says, and I don't remember all the words, but it said, I read the back of the book. Anybody remember what it says? And we win. Well, I'm thankful that we can have victory tonight. And as the song that they sang, the special song, I'm thankful that we can give all of our battles to the Lord. And I'm thankful that there is a place of victory that God has for each and every one of us. And if you are in battles tonight and you wonder, can I have the victory? The answer to that is a resounding yes. Jesus came to give us victory over sin. He came to give us victory over ourselves. He came to give us victory over the flesh. And I'm thankful because I can't do that in my own strength. But there is a power tonight that is greater than what we have in our own ability, and it's through Jesus Christ. I'd like us, if you would, turn with me to the book of Isaiah in the 21st chapter. I've written on the board the battle of the last days. And that's the burden the Lord put on my heart. Sometimes I kind of feel a little bit like the man that people thought was crazy, that walked around Jerusalem before it was destroyed, and he told the people, he said, whoa, whoa, whoa. And he was forewarning of the destruction of Jerusalem. And people looked on the man and thought, he's crazy. But it wasn't very long before the prophecy was fulfilled. I have a message from the Spirit of the Lord tonight, and it may not cause you to get out of your seat and jump very high tonight. But I want us to recognize that we are in a spiritual battle tonight. And that battle is escalating. The battle's getting hot. And I'm feeling the pressure of the battle. And everywhere I go, from young people, from children to young people, to elderly saints, are telling me I'm feeling it like I've never felt it before. And I would tonight that if we can, when we leave here this evening, that we would be a little bit more aware of the battle that we are in tonight. In Isaiah, in the 21st chapter, in the 6th verse, it said, for thus hath the Lord said unto me, go and set a watchman. Let him declare what he seeth. A watchman is one that in ancient days would be up on the wall or climb a high tower so he could have a little bit of perspective and look out over the walls and be able to see when the enemy was coming. And I would like to invite you tonight to climb the tower with me. And I'd like to invite you not just to listen to what I have to say, my words, but listen to the Spirit of the Lord tonight. Open up, may the Lord open up our spiritual understanding, and let's look out as watchmen. What do you see the condition of our world as? What do you see happening in the religious world? What do you see happening in families, in politics, in society? What do you see happening? Well, I'll say we are in a battle. Paul said it this way over in 1 Timothy 6 and 12. He encouraged Timothy. He said, fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art called, and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. I want to challenge you tonight to fight the good fight of faith. But you know, we have to recognize there's a battle before we can fight. And Lord willing, this is laying the foundation for some of the rest of this meeting. But folks, we are in a spiritual battle tonight. And there are forces of evil that are being unleashed in the world today as never before. And it's not going to get any better. But don't forget this. There is one that has more power than the power of the enemy. And when we look around, we say, where is the hope? Folks, we have hope in Jesus Christ tonight. But that is our only hope. Our hope is not going to be found because I come in between these four walls and I say the name is Church of God, so I'm safe. We are in a battle tonight. And we're going to face it every single day when you go to work, when you go to school, when you go to town, and right in your home, you are going to be fighting a battle. So let's fight a good fight tonight. I want to lay hold on eternal life. I don't want the Lord to come back and find me asleep with my oil run out. Remember the parable of the 10 virgins? It was at midnight, was it not, when the cry came? Prepare thyself, the bridegroom's coming. It was at midnight, folks. We are in the 11th hour tonight. We are in the 11th hour, and the Lord Jesus is going to come back. And what happens at midnight is it's a time of drowsiness. And if we are not attuned to the battle that we are fighting, the oil is going to run out. The victories that we've had in the past, the anointing of the Holy Spirit that you have experienced in your homes and in your personal life, if we are not cognizant of the battle tonight, we can start losing some of the oil. At midnight, the Lord's going to come back. And folks, it's getting dark out there, isn't it? It's getting dark. You just pick up the newspaper. You don't have to go very far before we get to recognize where we're at. But I believe we are in the end times. And I'm not the only one the Lord has been impressing that upon. But the Lord very clearly let me know about a year ago that the end is getting very close. We need to prepare ourselves for the coming back of the Lord. We need to get ready. It's not a time to get lax spiritually. It's not a time to say I have a while to go out and enjoy the things of the world and then I'm going to get close to the Lord. Saints, we need to get close to God tonight. We need to examine our lives because we're in a battle. Yes. Ephesians chapter 6. Very familiar passage of Scripture, but it speaks of this battle that we are in. Ephesians in the 6th chapter in the 12th verse. He said, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood. We're not in a literal warfare tonight. We're not in a carnal battle. We're not to go out with our tanks and our guns and prepare ourselves and stock up with food and get our guns and get all the ammo that we can. That's not what he's talking about here. He said we wrestle not against flesh and blood. Have you ever had a problem with somebody? You thought, there's a problem here. There's a battle here. And you put someone's name on it. Do you recognize that we wrestle not against flesh and blood tonight? We are in a spiritual battle. He said here, but against principalities and against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. We are in a spiritual battle tonight. Have you been aware of it? Is that okay? We just, where we live, talk about where we live. Are you seeing the battle? Are you seeing the spiritual forces that are being arrayed?
Yes.
It's where temptation comes from, saints. Saved and people filled with the Holy Spirit still have temptations because we're still in the flesh. But the enemy is doing all that he can to draw us away from a place of purity, from a place of holiness, that we would give in to the enemy. Spiritual forces at work. I know of no, if you'll allow me to share something personal, and I didn't talk about it for quite some time after it happened, but in Tanzania is a country where there are a lot of witches. There are a lot of people that trust in the powers of darkness for healing. They put curses on people. In about every meeting that we have had in the country of Tanzania, there have been at least one or more witches present in those services. People that have openly declared their affinity with the work of darkness, with the power of darkness. A few years ago, I was in a meeting and we prayed over one of these witches. She had been instrumental in murdering a number of people. She had given them potions from her mother who was a witch. She had delivered these to them and people had died as a result of it. Very directly looking in the face of evil. And that night when I was laying in my bed, there was a power of darkness that tried to come into my room. And I still almost have a visceral physical response to it. It was not something light. I was laying there and I looked over at the room, at my door, and there was a presence and a spirit of darkness that was right at the door of my room. And I felt the force getting stronger and stronger. And it was that afternoon that we'd been praying over these people. And all I could do was start calling on the name of the Lord. And it was not because of anything I had done. I didn't have any righteousness in myself to combat that force of evil. But I began to call on the blood of Jesus Christ and plead the power of the blood. And I had to do it for quite a long time before that presence of evil left my room. Folks, we are in a spiritual battle tonight. And that was something that was so real to me, and my words were inadequate. If you would have been there and experienced it, you'd know what I was talking about. But there are forces of evil that are working in our society tonight that are more subtle than that. The devil does not always come with horns and a pitchfork. There was a strong power of darkness that was trying to come on my spirit in that room. But I will say there was a greater power, thank God, that I was able to fall back on and plead the blood of Jesus Christ. And you know what? The blood of Jesus caused that force of evil to leave. But we are in a spiritual battle tonight. And maybe you have not experienced that darkness of the enemy like that. But I know you are in a spiritual warfare because we are all in one tonight. But it said that there are spirits. There are powers of darkness. And my question to you tonight is, where are they? Where are these forces of evil? We're in a battle. We're in a spiritual battle. But where are these forces of darkness? I believe if the Lord were to open up our eyes tonight, we would see where the enemy was working in a more clear way. The devil is working tonight in areas that Christian people in our nation are saying, it doesn't matter. The enemy is working in areas tonight that people that profess the name of Jesus Christ are giving themselves to with the mindset that live how you want to live and the grace of God will cover all the sin that you commit. Folks, fight the good fight of faith tonight. It's going to mean something to be found ready to meet God when Jesus comes back. The battle that we're in, there are spirits tonight. And again, I know sometimes people talk about spirits and people start to get uncomfortable. Am I wrong there? You say, well, you're saying there's a spirit behind every bush and pretty soon we're... That's not what I'm talking about tonight. But there is the power of Satan and there's the power of God tonight that's at work. And then we also have a spirit, do we not? There is a spirit within each one of us. God created us with a spirit. That's how we are in the image of God. It's not because of how we think or how we look. But He gave us an eternal soul. He gave us something that's going to last for eternity. So we have choices to make tonight in our own spirit as to what spirits I'm going to listen to. Am I going to listen to the Lord? Am I going to open up my heart and obey His word? Or am I going to listen to the spirits of darkness? But many times we don't call them darkness because does not the enemy come as an angel of light so often? You see, if the devil were to walk in tonight with horns and a pitchfork, we would all look and say, okay, that's the devil. But it's a lot more subtle when he puts on a suit coat. He gets up behind the pulpit. Says, I'm an angel of light. Do you know that's happening in our country? Yes. We need some discernment tonight to know the difference between good and evil, and right and wrong, and what is pure and what is not pure, and holiness and righteousness, from those things that will pull us back to the very things that God delivered us from when we got saved. Lord, help tonight. 1 Peter 5, verse 8. He says, be sober. Be vigilant. Because your adversary, the devil, is as a roaring lion walking about, seeking whom he may devour. Be sober and be vigilant. In other words, be watchful in your life tonight. Don't just think that, well, I got saved and now I can just sit back and do what I want to do until the Lord comes back. We are in a fight. We are in a battle tonight. And He said, be sober and be vigilant. Folks, when the Lord says something, we better listen up. And the Scripture says to be sober and watchful and be vigilant because your adversary, in other words, you have someone that is opposing your walk with God. If you want to serve the Lord tonight, there is one who has a plan in mind for you. And I am thankful that God knows our name. God knows everything about us. But folks, the devil has a trap laid for each and every one of us. Lord told me a few years ago, I was in California. And the Lord, and I was actually studying the message, and I was in the car, and I was in a meeting in California. And the Spirit of the Lord came, and He said, Michael, you can lose your soul. It left me in tears. I called my wife and I said, Renee, the Lord just told me I could lose my soul. To him that thinketh, he standeth. Take heed lest he fall. None of us are exempt this tonight. We're in a battle for our life. And the Lord, later on, he came back and he brought me back to that place in some areas. You better be careful. I was struggling with some things and asking the Lord, Lord, why is this happening? And I went to church and I got down, it was just in the middle of the week, and I got down on the altar, began to pray, and I said, Lord, why? And the Lord said, it's a spiritual battle. It helped me know how to pray. It helped me begin to know how to fight when I recognize this is a spiritual battle that I'm in. Folks, we're in a spiritual battle tonight. Let's be sober. Be watchful, be vigilant, because we have an adversary. I had a little problem this week with a vehicle. And I took it to the dealership, and they told me, this is wrong, and this is wrong, and this is wrong, and if you don't fix this, your engine can be ruined, and this and that and the other. And it was a little bit disheartening. I took it to my mechanic that I use a little closer to home. He said, oh no. He said, they're just telling you that. He said, it's okay, just don't worry about it. And he said, this needs to be fixed right here, but just talk to him on the phone today. Boy was going to pick up the car and talk to him on the phone. He said, don't worry about it. Who are you going to listen to? We're in a battle tonight. So who are we going to choose to take counsel from? Because when one mechanic tells me, you can lose your engine, another says, oh, it's okay. Nothing's wrong, it's all right. No problem. Who are we going to listen to spiritually tonight? Because we're living in a world that the devil is saying, he's not like the force of darkness that I felt coming into my room, but he comes in as an angel of light, and he says, don't worry, Brother James, it's okay. You don't have to live that way. It's all right. You don't worry about that. I know used to they didn't do that, but it's okay. They're just old fogies. Does that sound familiar? You don't need to live that carefully. You can go there and watch that and listen to that and act that way. It really doesn't matter. Everybody has a different idea, an opinion, and we're all headed the same place. Is that not a philosophy and a spiritual ideology, if you will, that's prevalent in our world today? It doesn't matter. But what did Jesus say? Enter ye in at the straight gate. For wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Because straight is the gate and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. Folks, I want to be part of the few. And I'll tell you, when my children come home from school, and they come home from camp meeting, and they come home from different places, it doesn't matter where they come home, and they say, Dad, can we do it? Everybody's doing it. That raises a red flag for me right there. Because if everybody's doing it, I want to investigate just a little bit more what's going on. Is that right? Is that fair? Because everybody is doing something in our world. Because most people that profess Christianity are doing something does not make it right. Jesus addressed it. And folks, this is part of the battle that we're in. This is the battle that we are in. And it's a lot more deceptive and subtle than just the devil coming in with horns and a pitchfork. Lord, give us a discerning heart. Lord, open up our eyes in the decisions that we make as a family, in the decisions that we make individually, the things that we feed on, the things that we imbibe in. Don't forget, we're in a battle. So am I listening to the Spirit of the Lord, or is there a subtle work of the flesh? Is there a subtle work that the enemy is drawing me a little bit closer to the world, away from God? And it's not the preacher's job to go home with you and line you out on everything, because you know what? Our souls are in our own hands. My soul is in my hands tonight. And so I have to look at my life and say, Lord, help me to see. Help me to honestly examine the areas in this battle I'm in, the places that the devil is working. And then help me to make the proper steps to eradicate the influence of the enemy in my life. It's very personal. I know sometimes history, events in history have a way of becoming fictionalized a little bit. So this story I'm going to tell, I wasn't there, so I don't know if it really happened this way. But I read a story about George Patton. General George Patton, World War II hero. And I believe he was over the infantry and the tanks that were going against the Germans. And the German, I don't remember his name, but the general that was over the Germans had written a book on tactics. He'd written a book on tank tactics and infantry tactics. And the story goes that as George Patton was going into battle, that he stood up and he yelled out across the Germans, I read your book. In other words, I know what you're thinking. I know your tactics. And he won a victory. Do you know that we are not to be ignorant tonight of Satan's devices? And this isn't Satan's book, but this is God's book to us, and He tells us how the devil works. Let's not be naive tonight. Let's not fall into this mentality that, well, it doesn't matter. We're in a spiritual battle. And the forces are subtle and devious. And that's part of the reason why in 2 Timothy 3:1 Paul said, "This know also, that in the last days," what? Perilous. What does perilous mean? Dangerous. Perilous times will come, and would you allow me to say, and now is? Dangerous times. Folks, we live in dangerous times. You read down through that list, and I have been amazed at what I'm seeing in our world today. Men shall be lovers of their own selves. Covetous, you know, I want. Boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection. And it goes on, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God, having a form of what? Now, we're talking about a battle. A spiritual battle, and part of the battle was, he said, there are going to be those that have a form of godliness. In other words, they have the name. I am a Christian. I am a follower of Christ. But he said they have a form of godliness, but they deny the power thereof. He said, from such turn away. Verse 7, he said, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Folks, part of where we are at in our society today is in a society, a Christian society, that advocates that there are no absolutes. Everything's gray. Everything's up to how you see it. But folks, when we stand before God, the Lord's not going to say, "Now, Michael, how did you see it? Oh, I'm glad you told me. You saw it that way. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord." Is that what He's going to do? We're not going to be judged according. You know, we all value. Who here doesn't value their own opinion? I know the world's full of opinion people, and saints are no different. We all have opinions, don't we? Is that all right? We all have opinions. That's the way we're made. We have ideas and thoughts. But we need to recognize that our opinions and our ideas don't change truth. Amen. Our opinions and our ideas don't change what holiness is. Our opinions and our ideas, and I'm one step further, we can have all the meetings we want. We can have all of the votes that we want on what's right and not. And it doesn't change God's law. It doesn't change truth. It doesn't change what's right and wrong. No absolutes is what our world is saying. Everything's gray. But folks, there are some absolutes in the Bible. There are things the Scripture teaches that if we are, let him that nameth the name of Christ depart from what? Iniquity. There are Scriptures in the Bible that teach us that those that commit the works of the flesh will not inherit the kingdom of God. And now all of a sudden, it's Brother Michael, that's being pretty hard, and that's not really showing a lot of love. Have you heard that one too? Where's that coming from? It's coming from this battle. I haven't talked to Brother James, and I will just say, I haven't heard anything about Sepulpa. Maybe you all don't need this message. But the Lord gave it. So I'll leave that with the Lord. But I want to say this. This is one of the reasons the Lord set ordained watchmen in the house of God to give warning when there are needs and problems. And we can come to service and think, well, when it steps on my toes, it's just Brother James. When it steps on my brother's toes, it's like, Lord, bless Brother James. That message was from heaven. Folks, the Lord set watchmen. He gave pastors, He gave teachers to warn us. And I want to challenge and encourage us to respect the warning of men that are speaking of holy things. Be careful, and give honor and respect. When the Spirit of the Lord moves and He warns about things, He may not say it's sin, but say, be careful here because the devil's working in this thing. Folks, we're in a spiritual battle tonight, and I can't afford to be deceived by the devil. But we're living in a time where so many people's eyes are blinded. Perilous times. No absolutes. What's more dangerous? I got an email from a pastor that I've worked with in Pakistan today. And he was talking about, there was a couple, and I don't know if it's been on national news or not. But he was speaking about a couple there in Pakistan, a Christian couple, that were burned. They were burned. And we look at that and say, that's horrible. It's the enemy trying to crush Christians. But honestly, tonight, my heart breaks at that suffering. But what's more dangerous? Someone putting a gun to our heads? Someone can say, I'm going to burn all of you if you don't acquiesce to our religion? Or is it more dangerous to have subtle influences in the name of Christianity coming in and filtering among all people, saying, live how you want to live. It doesn't matter. We're Christians, and you make your own decision and live how you want. What's more dangerous to the cause of Christ? Anybody have an answer? That's a lot more subtle, isn't it? It's a lot more devious because we can recognize the force of darkness that's out just trying to stamp out Christianity. But when the devil puts on his nice suit of clothes and smells good and looks good and talks good, I've been in places that people can outpray any of us here. And by that I mean this. Their words are so eloquent. I've heard people pray the most beautiful, poetic prayers, and they are as carnal and devious as anything when you start getting to know their life. See, it's more dangerous. It's more dangerous, folks. We are in a spiritual battle tonight. Lord, help us and give us discernment. I was in, Brother Philip, I don't know if you may remember how to get to the orphanage, but I've been there a number of times, but a couple of years ago, I lost my way. Went to pick up a couple people at the airport, and I was driving back, and I knew I was going to have to make a left turn. And we were talking, getting distracted. Folks, be careful about distractions spiritually. And I missed my turn, and I drove for quite a ways until I looked around and said, wait a minute, something's not right. I'm seeing we're coming up on this lake, and I know we weren't supposed to get here. What do you do when you've gone too far? What should you do? Turn around! Tonight, do you know that if you've been given in to some of these influences, we have time to turn around tonight? We have opportunity. And so what I did is I turned around. I didn't get on another road. I just turned around. But I didn't end up, I ended up in the middle of a forest that I had not passed through on that exact same road. We were wondering if the Lord had translated us somewhere else. I don't know where we were. Later on, someone was trying to tell me what happened, but somehow the road made a turn that we stayed on the same road, but we ended up someplace different. And so then we stopped and started asking directions. The people didn't understand me very well. And I tried to follow their directions, and I ended up on a mountain, dirt, rocky, rough road where nobody was. And the vehicle started having an issue, and I had no idea what we were going to do. Don't know where we are. And then someone came driving along, and we flagged them down. Told them we need to go here, and they said, follow us. And I got my vehicle, thank God, and we followed them to get on the road that we needed to be on. Folks, sometimes you can ask directions of people, and you can say, well, where should I do? And they're going to tell you to go away, that if you follow their directions, you're going to end up more lost. Be careful who you listen to. It seems like the world is giving instruction. Religious leaders in this country, just go to the Bible bookstores. The bookshelves are lined with them. And I'm not saying it's all wrong. I'm not saying that. But I'm saying you better be careful. Right. You better be careful tonight, because it's more. I would rather tell my children this is all false, don't look for any good in it, than to go amongst the people that have 90% right and 10% error. Because how are we going to recognize the difference? It's more deceptive. It's more dangerous. Now the Spirit speaketh in 1 Timothy 4. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly. The Spirit of God speaketh clearly and distinctly, that in the latter time some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. And it goes on talking about their conscience being seared with a hot iron. Folks, the Spirit of God is speaking expressly tonight. Speaking clearly, we're in a battle. There are vile things that are being done in the name of Christianity. And I don't know that I'd want to show you the things that are being done. I recently encountered, and I'm not even going to say his name, but one of the biggest names in Christianity in this country. One of the big name evangelists, that his book has been on the bestseller list, probably almost second to nothing but the Bible. I saw some of the things coming out of the youth ministry of that church, and it was nothing but perverted. And that's not just being stilted or an old fogey either. It was perverted, and it was being done in the name of Christ. The type of music and the type of dance was nothing but promoting things that are sinful and vile.
That's right.
And then our nation looks to these leaders. And you say, Brother Michael, that's being judgmental. No, this is the Word, folks. This is the battle that we are in. It's why we need to be careful tonight. We need to be founded in the Word of God. We need to recognize what's wrong. The battle, the forces of evil that are out there. The moral decay in our world is great. Accept it. You know, the message of tolerance, that sounds like a spiritual principle, doesn't it? Be tolerant. But we are to be tolerant of people. Love people. Be long-suffering with people. But don't be tolerant of sin and say it doesn't matter. Sin matters, folks. The works of the flesh matter. The things of this world, it matters to the Lord. He said, put distance between yourself and those things. But love the people that commit them. Love the people. We won't take the time to read it, but you turn over, if you would, on your own time, in the first chapter of Romans. And it speaks about those that profess God. Those that profess God, and they knew God, but they became vain in their imagination. In their own thinking. And it said they professed themselves to be wise, but they became fools. Folks, this is the world that we're living in today. This is the society living after the flesh in the name of Christianity.
Yes.
And the result was, it said that God took his hands off. He just gave them over to a reprobate mind. Folks, I don't want God to take his hands off my life.
No.
I don't want God to take his hands off us as a people. I don't want God to take his hands off of us as a congregation. So what are we going to do then, Lord? Help us to walk honestly.
Amen.
Help us to walk carefully. And young people, and I'm not picking on you tonight, I'm saying it because I love you. You are in a great battle. And you are facing influences tonight that your parents didn't face as strongly as you are tonight. There's victory for you. There's a place that God can keep you steadfast and free from the evil of the world. But if you start thinking in your mind, it really doesn't matter. It's a good time to stop and say, Lord, what does the Bible say about it? What are the principles of the Word? How is this affecting my life when I do that? And your Christian friends may say, no, it doesn't. It's okay. But what is the Lord saying in your life? The Lord has called us to a higher plane of living tonight. I want to read a passage out of the book of Revelation. Revelation, the 20th chapter. Actually, I'm not going to read that because of time. If you will turn with me to the 16th chapter of Revelation, beginning with verse 13. He said, "Here I saw three unclean spirits like frogs come out of the mouth of the dragon, out of the mouth of the beast, and out of the mouth of the false prophet. For they are spirits of devils working miracles." Every time you see a miracle does not mean God is in it. Every time you see something that looks like man couldn't have done it, and surely it must have been God. We are in the spiritual battle tonight, and devils work miracles for the purpose of deceiving. He said, "They go forth unto the kings of the earth and the whole world to gather them to the battle of that great day of God Almighty." We're gathered together. We're in a battle tonight. And it said, "Behold, I come as a thief. Blessed is he that watcheth and keepeth his garments, lest he walk naked and they see his shame. And he gathered them together into a place called in the Hebrew tongue Armageddon." He saw three unclean spirits. Those three unclean spirits came out of the mouth of the dragon, out of the mouth of the beast, and out of the mouth of the false prophet. That dragon, without taking a lot of time to get into it, represents paganism. You study the book of Revelation, it's representing paganism, and then it said the dragon gave its power to the beast, which was Roman Catholicism, which gave its power to the image to the beast, or the false prophet, which was Protestantism, those professing the name of Christ. But all three of those spirits are contrary to the purity of God's Word. I will say about the Roman Catholic Church, with all of the areas that it is wrong in, I've been at the Vatican, and you see people kneeling down before man to confess their sins. Folks, man has no power to forgive sin. It's only God. The ministry has no grace in and of themselves to give us, to enable us to overcome the enemy, but Christ Jesus Himself. But I will say that the Roman Catholic Church, for a long time, in more modern times, has been a defense against a lot of the moral decay in our society. But have you been reading the news? Do you hear what's coming out in the Vatican now? The very thing we're talking about tonight, tolerance, lessening the stand against sin and against wrong. And you will see this in politics, we'll see it in the Christian faith, that everybody just coming together, let's all get along, and we all want to do what's right, and you just do what you want. But folks, there is one way. There's one way that's going to lead to life tonight. And it's not your way. It's not my way. It doesn't make it right just because I put the name Church of God on the door. What makes it right is, thus saith the Word of the Lord. Amen. There's one way tonight. Folks, we are in a spiritual battle, and the influences are subtle, they are strong, and we need to do what Paul exhorted the people on the day of Pentecost. We need to save ourselves from this untoward generation. It's crooked, it's perverse, and you may not see the darkness, but you might see the deceptiveness. From the very beginning, wasn't the devil subtle? In the Garden of Eden, he was subtle. And some of what he said had some truth to it, to get us thinking, to get us questioning God, what God said about it. And I want to caution us tonight, in the fear and the love of God, be careful. I'd like to read that passage again in closing. This battle that we're in, it's called Armageddon, and folks, it's getting hotter, it's getting stronger, and the influences and the pressures are getting greater. So what are we going to do tonight? Lord, help us. As He said again in that 16th chapter, He gave an admonition. He said, "Behold, I come as a thief." I'm coming when you're not expecting it. I'm coming when it's dark, when people are spiritually sleepy. And He said, "Blessed is he that watcheth and keepeth his garments, lest he walk naked and see his shame. Folks, I want the Lord to come back for me. And I want him to find me doing his will. But we're in a battle tonight. What kind of decisions have we been making? What kinds of things have we been feeding on? What kinds of things have we been influenced by the mentality of the world that says, it's okay and it doesn't matter? Remember this, we are in a spiritual battle and it's getting hot. And the only way that we are going to be able to come out with victory in this battle is as they sang in that song, and it's through Jesus Christ. And if there have been places that you know the enemy has drawn, or places you haven't been careful, maybe it's just in the mindset. I told someone a while back, it seems like there's just something in the air that's influencing and affecting people to just get as close to the world as they can. Folks, that's dangerous. Because when you get as close as you can, you're going to end up falling off into it. So what's the answer? Is, Lord, help me to get closer to you. Help me to draw closer to you that I can recognize the enemy and cast off the works of darkness. Amen.